This BBC podcast is supported by ads outside the UK.
I'm Natalia Melman Petrozella, and from the BBC, this is Extreme, Peak Danger.
The most beautiful mountain in the world.
If you die on the mountain, you stay on the mountain.
This is the story of what happened when 11 climbers died on one of the world's deadliest mountains, K2. And of the risks we'll take to feel truly alive.
If I tell all the details, you won't believe it anymore.
Extreme, Peak Danger. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to the documentary from the BBC World Service. I'm Monica Whitlock, and for Heart and Soul, we've come to Bukhara in Uzbekistan to listen to a very special piece of music.
I'm the head of Bukharan Jewish community, Abram Ishakov, Abram Borisovich. Our mosque, our synagogue, is 420 years old. It's the oldest one in Central Asia, our mosque, our synagogue. Yet the voice of the Torah has never ceased to resound here. And as long as I live, the Torah will always be heard.
Abram Ishakov is the caretaker of the Mulla Mani Synagogue in Bukhara, one of the sacred cities of the Muslim world in Uzbekistan. Mulla Mani is a tiny place arranged around a courtyard opening off Sarafan Street, an alley in the heart of a medieval city famous for its ancient and beautiful mosques and madrasas.
We have the Torah here. Our Torah is more than 1,000 years old, ancient. One rarely sees such an old Torah in Central Asia, or indeed in the world.
So this is the oldest scroll. It's kept in a cupboard, glass-fronted cupboard, with a padlock at the back of the synagogue. And what we can see is two velvet sides of the scroll. And inside, it's very delicate. It's made of deerskin vellum. And Abraham says they take it out just for very special occasions.
We come here every Shabbat, all holidays such as Passover, Sukkot, Shavuot, Rosh Hashanah, and Yom Kippur. We learned everything as it was, just as our fathers' fathers taught us. Adonai
Safotai Tiftah. I'm Monica Whitlock, and this Heart and Soul from the BBC World Service is all about a prayer that Abram sang to me that day in Bukhara. It's called Hakoni, and it's a lament or mourning prayer for the dead. When Abram began, he put away his prayer book and sang by heart, not in the language of liturgy, Hebrew, but in that of community, Persian, his mother tongue and that of his city.
Come, friends, listen to the meaning of this ghazal. Night has fallen and blessed life lies beneath the dust of death.
Hakoni comes from the Arabic word haq, or truth. It's sung, Abram says, by both Jews and Muslims of Bukhara. Dark and sonorous, its powerful images are drawn from classical Persian poetry or improvised so that every rendition is unique.
Pity the mortal. 1,000 times pity the mortal. One day he will pass behind the curtain of life. He will end his days devoured by snakes and scorpions.
Only in Bukhara you'll hear this, Abram says. Only in Bukhara. What can Hakoni tell us about Bukhara and its cultural world? And what, as Abram's community undergoes seismic change, is happening to Hakoni?
It's a very deep philosophy under this Hakoni, I think. Should be extremely expressive and loud sound. Just like cry to the god.
Benjamin Yusupov, musician and composer, lives in Israel, but he was born in Tajikistan and grew up with all the sounds of Central Asia in his ears. Hakoni, he says, connects us directly to the multicultural emirate of Bukhara that existed until the early 20th century when the Soviet Union absorbed Central Asia.
Yes, Bukharian Emirate, 18th, 19th century, was a unique place where different ethnic groups and different religions lived together and speak the same language. They influenced each other, Muslims and Christians and Sufis and Jews. And Bukharian Jews and Muslims, Sufis, sing this Hakoni. Sometimes it was difficult to understand who is Jews and who is Muslims.
The Jewish community was always a small minority, but a deeply rooted one, certainly hundreds of years old, and perhaps even as old as the Babylonian exile, over 2,000 years ago. There were synagogues in towns and cities all over the region in living memory.
My grandfather of my grandmother, so four generations from me, was a very famous singer and player, Yusuf Gurk, and he was a court musician of the last emir of Bukhara, Yusuf Gurk. He lives 1854 till 1942. And I'm very proud to be his grandson. I still have in my home his tambour, the instrument he played.
Tambour is a kind of long-necked lute. You find it in Iran, Iraq, Afghanistan, all over the Caucasus and Central Asia. It's quite astonishing that Benjamin's family kept safe this tambour, their heirloom, through revolution, war and migration for perhaps 100 years. While we were making this program, we were thrilled to find this gramophone record of Yusuf Gurk, Benjamin's great-great-grandfather, playing and singing. It was made by the French recording company Pathé on an expedition to Central Asia in 1911, in the last years of the Bukharan Emirate. He's singing a medieval Persian poem, a maqam, the classical music of the Bukharan court and of Central Asia more widely. Praise God, he sings in Arabic. Many of the biggest stars of this musical world, like Yusuf Gurk, were Jewish.
I think it's because living together and speaking the same language influenced each other. So how they sing, how they speak, how they eat is more close to Muslims than, I don't know, German Jews or English Jews. European Jews is the same religions, but very, very different.
So when you heard your grandfather's voice on the recordings, how did you feel?
Oh, it's a very touching feeling. It's like you hear a history, you touch to the roots, and it's a miracle. You give me his voice, it's unbelievable. I cannot explain it. It's some magic.
The style of Hakoni can be adapted to the great moments of life as well as death. listening to a party for a bride on the eve of her wedding in Samarkand. The star performer and honoured guest is Abram Tolmasov, son of a legendary dynasty of Jewish musicians. Someone's picked up a frame drum, or doira, the heartbeat of Central Asian music. Everyone's crowding round. Men in their shirt sleeves, women in bright silks, and children, lots of children. As he sings, Tolmasov does something very distinctive to Hakone and to the region. He holds a saucer by the side of his mouth, moving it to and fro to modulate his long, powerful phrases. Abram Ishakov, the synagogue caretaker, grew up in the 1960s in a world that revered music and song.
In our synagogue, many great domollahs have sung, master singers. When we were kids, we'd be here listening to all the songs and melodies. We'd go to wedding parties, listening. We secretly put cassette recorders in our pockets and record on the sly. Then back home, I would learn. Today, all those elders are gone, but their songs remain with me.
If you speak Dari or Urdu or Uzbek, you'll have caught how Abram sometimes says masjid, mosque, for kanisa, synagogue. It's just the natural, blended way that many people here talk. He uses mulla or domulla when he's talking about respected elders or celebrated musicians. The singers he admired so much, like Tolmasov, were household names in Muslim and Jewish homes alike through the 20th century. You can feel that cultural connection in this recording. It's another wedding, but this one's in Kokand, in the east of Uzbekistan, closer to China. The star performer this time is Rahima Horn Mazahidova. The party is Muslim and she's singing in Uzbek. The bride has appeared to greet her guests, lifting her gauzy white veil to each one. It's a ritual known as Kalin Salom, marking her entry into her new home and her new life. Rahima Horn plays the frame drum, the doira. She's free to improvise, blending religious tradition and folklore as she wishes.
East music, much more free. It's like a tree. You have thousands of leaves on the tree, but every leaf is different. When you perform the same piece second time, it's never the same.
Yuhan Binaminov, that's my name. So in our neighborhood, everybody was singing. Each door you will go, you will find a star.
Yuhan grew up in a musical Jewish family in Tashkent, the capital of Uzbekistan. Tashkent was full of different cultures in those days. Central Asian peoples, of course, Russians, but also Armenians and Greeks, Georgians and Koreans and many more.
My grandmother used to sing and my grandfather used to. My grandfather was an unbelievable singer. My grandfather, Daniel, he was a great performer of Hakone. I learned from the funerals, you know, with my grandfather, 6-7 years old.
The 1970s brought new ingredients to this rich musical soup.
When I was 12 or 13, so we are young kids, was listening Pink Floyd, Beatles, Led Zeppelin, you know, with a big binocular, we was watching United States of America, England, the West. It was fascinating for us.
This is the documentary from the BBC World Service.
Science is done by people who constantly expect the unexpected.
That thing that we couldn't figure out, we figured it out. But now you're like, okay, this is like a whole other can of worms.
Unexpected Elements brings you the most unexpected bits.
At the origin of the lightning discharge, we have a temperature which is even higher than the surface of the sun.
Unexpected Elements from the BBC World Service.
It's not Jurassic Park, is it?
It's Cretaceous Park. All of the dinosaurs in Jurassic Park came from the Cretaceous period.
Search for Unexpected Elements wherever you get your BBC podcasts.
As the USSR crumbled, many of the Soviet minorities began to leave, taking their chances in parts of the world they felt some connection to. The Greeks went to Greece, the Germans to Germany, the Chechens home to Chechnya, and the Bukharan Jews, too, sold up and left the neighbourhoods that had been home for hundreds of years. I lived in Central Asia in the 1990s, reporting for the BBC. And I remember my Bukharan Jewish neighbours arranging their household belongings in the road to sell. They didn't really want to go. They just hoped, believed, that it might work out better for the kids. I still have their little teapot painted with blue and orange flowers, and I do hope things worked out for them in Tel Aviv. Yohan Benyaminov knew exactly where he was heading.
When I left Uzbekistan, I was 27 years old. When I came to United States of America, people was like, they was open, you know, they was friendly. Hey, how you doing? How are you? I said, that's the freedom. That's the power. It was magic time when I came. That's how I feel.
The Bukharans stuck together, mainly in New York in the borough of Queens. Among them were some of the most famous Jewish musicians from all across Central Asia. They were much in demand.
We don't have our own theater. We don't have our own TV or radio station. So what do we have? The only one place where we can meet each other, it's a weddings or funeral.
I just packed my stuff, my clothes, my kids' clothes, and that's it. We can't take nothing with us, even not jewelry. Everybody move out.
Nina Maidahan, a celebrated singer, left Uzbekistan with her whole family, including her elderly mother, Belur. Born in 1911, Belur had performed at the court of Bukhara since she was a child, her long hair plaited into 120 narrow braids that swung as she moved.
My mother used to dance all around. My mother had a beautiful voice, and she was very famous many years.
In New York, in old age, Belur continued to dance and sing, but the 120 plaits were gone. She adapted to the new world.
She was wearing the heels, lipstick, and singing that time before she passed away.
Then Nina sang Hakoni for us in honor of her mother. A lament that starts, Mother, dear to my heart, what should I do now without you?
Mother, Beshimo jahan ro chikunam hama mehram beshimoyu mandigaron ro chikunam managar gul boshimo.
During that prayers, we using melodies, which is Bukharian, Tajik and Uzbek. Still, in community synagogues, we're still singing that. I think Hakoni, it's a unique mix. It's like a jazz.
And unaccompanied, improvised, sorrowful sometimes, maybe we could say, a kind of blues.
If I'm singing, Padarjon, Shulayiru Yishmoro Azgujoyobam, my lovely father, where I'm going to find the contours of your face. Karargohi sarikui ishmaro azgujoyobam. He's saying, where I'm going to find the smell of your hair, you know, smell of your hands. Me, I still remember, my father is alive, my mother's alive, but I still remember the smell of his hands. It always was fish, which is he loved, and beer, which is he drink after work, and kerosene, because he used to work in a factory. And this smell I remember.
And since you moved to America, what's happened to the music? How has it changed?
We had respect for our own music. But right now, much younger generation, they don't want to hear at all of Bukharian songs. Hakhani only reminds them of the sad days, I mean, the funerals. Please do not sing.
So does that mean that young girls now are not learning to sing?
We don't have almost nobody female who can sing Akhani like I sing.
We was very Bukharian. Now we're American Bukharian. We used to be Bukharian American. Now we are American Bukharian. It's a good and not good for us. We assimilate, yeah. We assimilate very fast. We're addicted to West.
I hear and remember still what was happened in Bukhara, and try to keep this tradition.
It's 30 years since Benjamin Yusupov, musician and composer, left Tajikistan, half a lifetime ago. He lives in Tel Aviv now and is composer in residence of the Jerusalem Symphony Orchestra. Some years ago, he was asked to compose a special piece after the death of a well-known Bukharan Jewish businessman in New York. He decided to compose a Hakhani, but not as anyone had heard it before. He used voice, the Central Asian instruments he grew up with, and European strings and woodwind.
Hakhani is so strong, so, how to say it, very, very expressive. I wanted to bring together crossroads between Jews and Muslims, between the modern and history, between tonality and harsh sounds, between the life and sound from the past. Also, some crossing between Western music and Eastern music. I'm proud that I can to continue this tradition of Hakhani, maybe in the more modern form. I'm very happy that I just continue some chain of our culture.
Johan and Nina are adding links to that chain too.
Oh, she will sing.
Oh, gülagim bar sen acab acab. Nige ki vürmen sen acab acab. Mani yarın bar dise acab acab. Nige alıp yürmen sen acab acab.
Nina still performs at weddings and funerals, her powerful voice filling halls of hundreds of people. And Johan too, pop, traditional, Hakhani, in Tajik, Russian, Uzbek, he sings them all. And Johan is opening a Bukharan radio station. He plans to broadcast the old songs with new translations to reach the new generation. So listen out if you're in New York.
You know, since I'm here, I never go back. I'm here almost 47 years. My family live in Israel, most of them, and my kids, my children, my great-grandchildren. I have five of them, and we all live here.
So where is home for you?
I think my home is here, America. I love it.
And Johan, what does he enjoy when he goes, not home maybe, but back?
Day before yesterday, I asked myself, I enjoyed the hospitality of people. Very easy and very polite atmosphere. I enjoyed that our cemetery is still alive. And I enjoyed that the Muslim people, they still respect us and they keep our bodies in their land.
A lot of the community have left now, but why have you stayed?
Man, khona mondeng sabash man ba inje gandane. Tozre mohammad ke atashim onas.
The reason I stayed in Bukhara, it suits me here. We still have good relations with everyone, thank God.
Ana ma mebrum uz kisha qator hamin. Buram, ma mesh gam ne mesana. Hama akabram, assalamu alaykum.
Muslims respect us. For example, when I walk in the street, no one remarks on it. Everyone greets me. Aka Abraham, salam alaikum. If I had two lives, I might go over there to live my second life. But a human being comes to this world once. I have been Abraham Borisovich here for 74 years. When would I become Abraham Borisovich over there? How long would it take for them to know me? It suits me here. What else do I need?
Hazaron puli tangadori, hazaron simuzardori, de pishimar kaironi.
You who have heaps of riches, you who have piles of gold, in the face of death you are undone.
Hayroni dar sarat toj kulam dori poshoi jahan asti da peshim.
You may wear the finest crown on your head, you may be king of all the world, when death calls you are undone.
Chul Sulaiman bo aqlu idra asti.
You may be like the strong Samson, like Solomon, knowing and wise, in the face of death, undone.
Chun tovus raftar dari, chun bulbul avaz dari.
You can walk like a peacock, have the voice of a nightingale, but in the face of death, undone. Know it, my friends. Believe it. Life is a gift soon spent. Let us treasure our time together.
You've been listening to the documentary from the BBC World Service.
In The Caretaker of Bukhara, Paul Barmer at Music on Earth Productions made the recording of Rahimahon Mazahidova in Kokand. The presenter and producer was Monica Whitlock.
I'm Sarah Chlevin, and for over a year, I've been working on one of the most complex stories I've ever covered.
There was somebody out there who was faking pregnancies.
I started, like, warning everybody. Every doula that I know.
It was fake.
No pregnancy.
And the deeper I dig, the more questions I unearth.
How long has she been doing this?
What does she have to gain from this?
From CBC and the BBC World Service, The Con, Caitlin's Baby.
It's a long story. Settle in.
Available now.